The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Play some more. Woo! They hit home runs last night. Man. Oh, I've been debating about what to say about last night. So I thought I wouldn't say anything. I'd just let you say something. I just do as they call in the military, a little debriefing. So if you were here last night, I want to just hear what you thought about it. Just some thoughts that are on your mind. Becky already voiced a few comments. What'd you think? Anybody? No, nobody. No comment. Awesome. Who's that? Awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. That is good. I love it. Yeah, I want to hear it some more. Awesome. That's awesome. What'd you think, Bob?
I think there was a move of God in His house last night. That I haven't seen in a while.
Me neither.
And I think God ministered to His people. Mm-hmm. God healed some wounds that needed to be healed.
Yeah.
There were people who gave testimony of things that they said they hadn't spoke of in decades.
Mm-hmm.
And God just did His thing. And it was just it was a blessing to be here. It was a blessing to be a part of it. And just that rare time, that rare Pentecostal time when God shows up and the Holy Spirit shows up and you just fill to overflowing.
Yes.
It was all of that. So
it was great, great.
It was.
Amen. It was good. It was good. Y'all don't want to hear from you, man. Come on. You're so boring.
Oh, man. Don't go to sleep. Good morning, Saints. I agree with my brother here, and I must say God did a powerful move. The young lady said something that was so dumbfounded.
Yeah.
God moved in a mighty, powerful way.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Pastor, Saints, it was in the supernatural. Yeah, amen. Praise God. Because it was worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
See, it was picking at my heart. It started Friday. Yeah. And I didn't know what was really going on.
Yeah.
That was Friday. Mm-hmm. Saturday, He just let it all out. And mighty move of God.
It was.
Tap in the supernatural.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you. That's why I have you people around to help me. So, now, yesterday was a day of mourning nationally through the Right to Life group, and we were asked to host that meeting here. For the babies who had been aborted, right, yeah. John, why don't you tell us what it was all about? I just got to tell you, I wasn't very thrilled about doing it. I was asked to do it, and I didn't want to do it. I'm not much on mourning. I've seen too much mourning. I've buried too many people I love, and it hurts me really, really, really bad. They taught me in the seminary, you're supposed to be detached. I can't do it, and so I get involved, and it hurts me really bad. When a day of mourning, I wasn't crazy about it, but I honored somebody that I do care much about, Cindy Collins, when she asked me to do it, just to host it. So I didn't have high expectations of anything good. In fact, I had real expectations of things being bad. Folks sometimes, get to wailing and asking for forgiveness and, just things that I'm just not into. But I was wrong. And God showed up in a way that surprised me. Imagine that. God be sure, in a way that surprised me. And I got to tell you, it was a home run. And it wasn't just at our church. It was other churches. It was on streaming live from the Epicenter up in the Carolinas, from the church that had the idea of doing it, to remember the babies that have died and been murdered. That was the whole plan. And I started listening to it. I have an Apple TV at home. If you don't know what that is, it's you can make your phone show whatever the phone would normally have on it on a television screen. So I did that on the big screen so I could see it a little clearer. And at first I was just like, man, this is not going to go in the direction I wanted to go in. But I prayed and said, Lord, just don't let me be judgmental. Just let me learn what I need to learn. Well, I listened for about 4 hours, I think it was, and I was amazed at what they did. So I came here a little bit lifted up, but I didn't have any idea what God was going to do. Did you want to say something wrong?
I was just going to say that what's the scripture? Without works, faith is dead?
Yeah.
Well, the church, we did a work here last night. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the church for, what's it been, 46 years? Mm-hmm. We've just been letting this this murder go on. And what it is, it's murder.
It is.
And so at least the church now is waking up. We're starting to do something. And this is going to fall. Yeah. I know it. I am confident this abortion thing is going down.
It's going down.
It's going down, yes.
I agree, 100%.
So anyway.
Amen, good. And Ro did a great job of leading worship last night, and just, we had folks, I tell you, I'd say 60 or 70% of the people are here, I had no idea who they were. You know, I just didn't, I knew some, but I didn't know everyone. I had a head count of about 20, and I think I quit counting at around 60, and I don't know how many were here.
I think one of the things that showed up last night is the amount of people that were just in this room that have been drastically affected by abortion. Mm-hmm. You think it's the other people living down the street?
That's true.
It was the people sitting right next to you. Mm-hmm. It was the people sitting in front of you that you would never guess. And like Marion stood up and he said, there's men involved in this too. Mm-hmm. He said, and we ache and we hurt and we remorse. And it was just it is a widespread catastrophe.
Amen.
It is.
Amen. Amen. by the way, it'll be up on our website soon, I guess. Yeah, this week, probably sometime. Yeah, okay. So you'll be able to see it, and you can. I think you'd be blessed for listening to it, and it will be available on DVDs. And so, if you want a DVD of it, you can get that. From last night, yeah. Okay. You weren't here last night, so hold on. I don't want you to talk about anything else right now, all right?
I'm dying to talk about this. I want to say in conjunction with what Ro said. In conjunction with what Ro said, I think that to be specific, we need to pray that the government ruling of Roe versus Wade be totally overturned, and that way abortion will stop.
Yeah, that's what you think, but yeah. You're wrong. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Here's the problem. When Roe v. Wade was brought into action in an unlawful way by the federal government, we did have states that had abortion. New York was one of them. It was legal. It was not legal in the vast majority of states. What's going to happen? Those who know more than I do, so I'm just telling you what people who know have told me. If they overturn Roe v. Wade, they're going to say that the states are responsible for whether or not to have abortion or not. Many states, such as New York, Illinois, and I won't go through a whole list of them, Virginia and others, have put in place abortion laws that are worse than we have now. And when Roe v. Wade is overturned, they are going to kick in. Other states, like Louisiana, have put in laws that when Roe v. Wade gets overturned, you will not be able to have an abortion in Louisiana. So the fight is going to move from the federal to the state. This is good and it's bad. In my opinion, which nobody would listen to, if Roe v. Wade made abortion legal in every state, and if we overturned it, I think we ought to be forced to go back to where we were when they overturned it, and forget all these other laws that were put in place, because it was illegal in Louisiana and many, many states. So that's not going to happen the way I want it to go, but that's the legal aspects of it. So it being overturned is not the end. It just means we've got the enemy in smaller places where we can get to him. So anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, you can say it second time.
Okay. Yeah. This perhaps
this Rose couldn't have second time.
Okay.
Y'all know how much I love her. I can do that, Jesus.
The federal facility is not a law. It was a Supreme Court decision that enabled there to be legal abortions across the United States is only the tip of the iceberg. The problem is that people will continue to get abortions. People will continue to live a lifestyle. People will continue to do sinful things. And not because it's illegal, but because we're a sinful people. We need to, as a church, to prepare ourselves. I believe what Rose said. Rose got it. It's going to be overturned. You know, like Pastor Morris says, it's going to go back to the states. That's only the beginning of the problem. You can get excited if you want to about we've won the battle. Hooray, hooray. We didn't win the battle because that's not where the battle is. The battle is for the hearts of people.
Amen.
The battle is for men and women who will continue to pursue that kind of a lifestyle. The battle is going to be with the building of the family unit, which has been destroyed. The battle is going to be with individuals who choose to scorn us as Christian believers. So we can get excited. It's a stop along the roadway. But the evangelism, reaching out to people, loving people, helping people, encouraging people, that's where the play is. It's way beyond Roe versus Wade.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. That's correct. But be encouraged, because the wave is moving in the right direction. And a little bit of physics is an object that's in motion will continue to in motion. All right? So it's in motion right now.
And I have an awesome promise. In Isaiah 58:12, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. Mm-hmm. This country was built on good foundations.
Amen.
And will rise and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the broken walls. And I do believe that last night, while we don't have a victory yet, as you said, we do have a promise.
Yes.
And I believe that God is calling his people to become that army that you and I talked about. Mm-hmm. And we all have a place. It's not all, we don't all do the same thing, but we all have a place because we've all walked in different arenas and we've all gone through different journeys that prepared us. Brother Charles, you really blessed me last night. I mean, I took a lot of fortitude to get up and repent before people. I mean, that's usually done in your closet. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's that kind of repentance that we saw last night that will bring about a huge move.
Amen.
And a cleansing that Amen. Will ignite people to go forward.
Amen. That's good. I agree with you. Well, yeah, you can have.
I need the mic, but
yeah, you do, because people watching this thing, we've got
to. Amen, amen. Only one thing I have to agree with, and I thank you, but it was the Spirit of God. See, he plucked the hearts.
Yes.
But I'm free! Hallelujah!
Amen. Woo!
I'm free, man. I'm
amen.
Free.
No more. No more to be tormented by the evil one. That's what it's all about. Oh, man. I had a lady here who had an abortion, and she shared her testimony, and I won't even try to repeat what she said. But the thing that really impressed me, she got pregnant when she was young, evidently in school, because she talked about her classmates all knew where to get an abortion, And so she had the abortion. They told her it was nothing, you know, just tissue, just nothing. Just get rid of it and go on about your life. And she did, and it was wrong because she couldn't get on with her life. And she was tormented in many different ways, physically. And she later, I guess she got married and wanted to have children, and she couldn't. She was having miscarriages. But she did finally get pregnant. And she went, I guess it was to the doctors, and they did an ultrasound. And she heard the baby's heartbeat. And she realized that she was at the same stage of pregnancy that she was when she had the abortion. And that the light dawned on her that she had been lied to, that it was a baby. It wasn't just a mass of tissue. It wasn't something you could throw away and forget. And when she realized that it was a baby that she had killed, it brought her to the cross and changed her life. So the truth, the Bible said, will do what? Set you free. And that's what happens when you admit the truth and when you hear the truth and you know what it is. And that's what's happening. We're having a revelation of the truth. That's what happened yesterday. Many people shared a lot of things last night that too much to go into this morning. But it was impactful just to hear what people had to say. So, Ms. Pat?
There were so many things that we were informed of, too, last night that were just so awesome to me. Some things that we need to be aware of, but also some things that we need to know because we can help. But the same lady Morris was talking about, she said that when she was in high school, she said all of her friends knew where the abortion center was. Yeah. She said she had never heard of a pregnancy help center. So, I mean, right there, that really gives us, you know, something we need to do. We need to be very visible to the young people, to the kids that are being lied to, so they know they have an option. They have people that they have a pregnancy center right here in Slidell that can help them. The other thing that I thought was so great in this same lady, I spoke with her after the meeting was over, and she was telling me about her daughter, and how she said since she was when the lady found out how much she had been lied to when she did get pregnant with her daughter that she has now, and how much she had been lied to, she got saved, and God not only began to heal her of her brokenness from her abortion, but he delivered her from alcoholism and drugs. She was just totally delivered. And I can't remember how she found out about the Pregnancy Crisis Center, and I think this was in Hammond, but she didn't know that you could go to this center, and she found out they have a ministry there to help people who've had an abortion, you know, the healing process for the women who've had the abortions. And so, but anyway, she said since her little girl was just a little bitty thing, she's been going to the Pregnancy Help Center with her mom, you know, while her mom's helping volunteering at the center. So she said the Pregnancy Help Center is just second nature to her. And she said she knows my whole story now. You know, she said she was just able to unfold things to her at appropriate times. And but what she told me was so incredible. In this, she said that that her daughter recently, one of her friends came to her, and she said, I think I might be pregnant. And she says, well, I know where we can get some help. And this lady's daughter informed her friend about the Pregnancy Help Center.
Amen.
So she could get help. So here we've got a kid, you know, whose mother was the victim of abortion. Now her own daughter is helping to reach young people, you know, mm-hmm. to keep them from going into the abortion center. Just other thing real quickly, the John and Ruth Kowalczyk, they were telling us there's an organization that operates mainly out of Boutte, Louisiana. They have a ministry where they will actually take in young women and girls who are pregnant. They will house them. They will take care of them, whatever needs that they have. So there's real, actual, real, true help for people. And see, we just need to know. We need to know where these places are and what's going on. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when Cindy was here a couple of weeks ago, she talked about she wanted Slidell to be a abortion-free city. And I came up right alongside of her, and I believe this is going to be part of what we speak to people in an adoption-friendly city. So we talked about that last night, too. And there's a lot of things that are already being moved into place, because when this abortion goes down, and abortion is banned in Louisiana, we're going to have us a lot of new babies. Yeah. And and these babies will need being taken care of, because there are people who actually really cannot parent these unplanned children. And so God is already, I've already seen a couple of things happening. God's already putting the abortion, the adoption answer is beginning to be strengthened. And again, where we'll have, hopefully we'll be able to inform people so well that when an unplanned pregnancy happens, that their first thought would be adoption and not abortion. So, amen. There we go. That's some of the good news.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
I found out, like, last night, you know, that we come together and we, you know, have all this emotions, and we all together, and we one accord, and when that happens, you know, people find out different things about people, you know, and that they're not alone. But what I do when I go in people's homes, and they talk to me and they tell me things, and sometimes they, you know, many of them would tell me, you know, that when they were young, you know, they felt like, what kind of world this is to bring in a child? Mm-hmm. And that's a lie.
Yeah.
You see. And there's a lot of lies that is just handed down. But then they tell me, because they're older in age, and they say, I wish I did have a child, because I don't have nobody to take care of me.
Mm.
And then they miss it when they're young. They're not told the whole thing, you know. And then when you're young, you don't feel like you're going to live forever. But I see them and I hear them, and they mourn sometimes, you know, and they talk about different things. And then they tell me, when I was young, they used to tell me this, man, that don't, I'm so glad you have kids, because when I was, you know, I was just worried about taking care of my kids. I wasn't worried about them taking care of me, but they would tell me this, boy, you blessed, you know, because when you get older, you're not paying for somebody, a stranger, to take care of you.
Yeah.
You know, but I just thank God that I was able to be told the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
And so many people are not told the truth about kids.
That's right.
How much a blessing they are.
Yeah.
To you.
Amen.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
Kids aren't some type of, you know, a burden. They're not. They're a blessing.
Amen. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And Pat,
thank you. Yes, sir.
I also wanted to say about what Ms. Pat was saying, that they also said that to try to help those who can't afford it and everything, that they also put those who go through the pregnancy, that they have a shower for them, that small group that has a actual baby shower that supplies that person with help, mm-hmm. and everything. So that's another thing that keeps their mind from, you know, they think, oh, I can't afford it. And the church comes together and they put that baby shower for that expectant mother to let them know that there is a family that it's helpful.
Yeah, there's help. Well, I think what we're going to see, you know, my two cents worth is kind of what Evan said. We have these emotional meetings, and everybody's, you know, really walks away excited. I mean, it's a very great meeting last night, and as you can hear from those who were there, that it's fun and it's edifying, but what good does it do? What good is an emotional meeting? Is it, if that's all it is, if it doesn't spur us to do something, then we've missed a boat. We began this year, and it was actually the latter part of last year for quite some time that God was speaking to my heart about life. I had no idea that things were going to get kicked into gear so quick. Not only from an abortion standpoint, but also from suicide, drug overdose. There's a bigger picture here that we're talking about. But if we look at the picture being so big, then we'll just say, well, nothing can be done. So we'll just take bite sizes of it. There are some things that need to be done and things that we can do. So we're going to be searching for those things, and I'll be bringing you some ideas that I have and put those ideas with other people's ideas, and so that we as a church and you as individuals can do something, all right? You're not... I'm going to tell you a little story, and then I believe I said this last night, but I'm not real sure what I said. In World War II, when Europe was liberated, and Eisenhower went into Germany, and he was informed by the soldiers who had gone in first about these concentration camps. And so he went in to see for himself. And when he got there, he couldn't believe the carnage. And it was just overwhelming. Bodies stacked up 30 feet high, open graves, all the things that you know about from the Holocaust. And he said to the townspeople who were right nearby, very close by, why didn't you do anything? And they said, well, we didn't know anything. And he said, how could you not know? You can smell this place for 5 miles around. And he made the citizens of that town go into that murdering chamber, made them bury the bodies, made them clean up the carnage, made the citizens do that who said, we didn't know. And what we've done is we've acknowledged, oh, yeah, there's abortion. But what have we done? And this is the moment. There's always a moment when it's time to do something. And I think that moment is here. That's what I agree with Ro just said. Talking again about Eisenhower for just a moment. There was a moment when he knew the Allies would win the war. It hadn't been won. Germany had not surrendered. There was still a fighting force. But there was a moment, he said, we will win this war. There'll still be death, and there's still work to be done, but we will win this war. At the exact same time, and historically, people have gone back and seen documents and gotten interviews about the war, at virtually the exact moment in time, Hitler knew that the war couldn't be won. Two things happened. Eisenhower was free to do everything that he wanted to do to win the war because he couldn't lose it. And Hitler began to do everything he could to stop the war from destroying him. He put teenagers in uniform. They were sent to the slaughter. You've heard of the Battle of the Bulge. That was old men and kids who were put up into that battle. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think I'm right about this. We lost like 15,000 men in the Battle of the Bulge. Hitler lost 100,000. And it wasn't very long after that when the war was actually won and Hitler committed suicide. How does that apply to us? I believe we're at a point now where we're saying we can win this war. And the enemy says they are going to win this war. So we have states who know what I just told you about, that they know they're going to lose this Roe v. Wade war. So states like New York have passed abortion laws today that are the worst in the nation, not to be undone. Chicago is in the process of passing laws that will make them the worst abortion state in the union. So they don't get away with this by themselves. Virginia is passing laws. Vermont is passing laws to make their state zero tolerance for saving lives of babies. That's Hitler's sending the kids out to fight. But the battle is not won in our flesh and our blood, but the battle is won by the Lord. And we're going to do what we can. I've thought about this. I think we're kind of reinforcements. There are people who have been fighting this thing, people like Cindy Collins, who have been fighting this thing for years. And we've been supportive. We financially support it, and we try to do all we can to make sure that she has the resources. But I think it's time for some fresh troops, and I believe we're going to be the fresh troops. And I say we. I'm talking about just us. There are others. There's a wave of fresh fruit that people want to get in and get this thing over with. And I'm believing there'll be a day when there'll be zero abortion, not only in the United States, but around the world. So, well, Pastor, how in the world could that possibly happen? And just like he did it yesterday, he took my low expectations and did something. He doesn't need me. You know, I need him. So, Nick, come up here for a minute. I want you to tell a little bit about what you told last night about if you had coffins. Can you do that? I know I'll make an emotional wreck out of you, but that's okay. I don't care. Nick said something last night. You know, sometimes you need to have a face on this thing, something that you can understand. So tell everyone what you told us last night about that.
I tried to put a in the people that were here's mind the children that were killed just in 2018, 365 days, was 41.9 million children. People go, boy, that's a big number. And I said, yeah, it is a big number. I tried to figure out how can I get people to grasp how big that number is, and I think the Holy Spirit put it in my mind. I tried to figure out how big an unborn baby is in the womb, and I said maybe about the size of my hand, maybe some smaller, maybe some bigger, but about that size in a mother's womb. If we were to have a true memorial service and we could bury all 41.9 million of these children in a nice little white casket, satin-lined casket, how many caskets would that be? I figured out if each casket, if we made each casket 12 inches long, 1 foot, where we could put a little baby in and bury it and have a funeral procession for all of these children at one time, the funeral procession would be 7,936 miles long.
That's if you put the caskets one next
to the other. If you put the caskets one behind the other. And that is the distance from New Orleans to Beijing, China. That's the amount of children that were killed in 1 year. 1 year. Think about that funeral procession. That's a lot of babies. Lord help us.
And if you took all the babies, you said,
I tried to calculate the same thing, the number that I could come up with, all the babies since just Roe versus Wade, 46 years of babies, and I came up with an average. That procession of baby coffins would be 367,700 miles long. It would be a procession from here to the moon, around the moon, and 1/6 of the way back. Innocent children.
Yes.
God help us.
God help us. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. When Nick said that last night, it helped me to get a picture of what we're talking about. And it's just a horrible, horrible, horrible thing that we let happen. And it is. There was a lady who gave a testimony. She was a Holocaust victim. And she was at the Holocaust Museum in Israel. And this man had gone there, and he met her. And she was there to testify about what it was like. And she said, I could hear the church bells ringing as we were watching our families be murdered. I could hear the church bells ringing while we were being murdered in the concentration camps. And I thought, man, have we just been ringing our bells and not paying any attention? And I believe we have. I believe we have. But on the bright side, I believe we've woken up. I think everybody's awake. I think we're getting a picture. Thank God for those who have been fighting for us. And they finally woke us up. And I believe now that we're awake, we'll do what we need to do. So it was quite an emotional, informative event. Cindy was walking out of here last night, and she said, Pastor, when are we going to do this again? And I said, Cindy, just get out of the building. I said, I don't even want to talk to you. And she said, but. I said, no, but. I don't want to talk about this. And she said, well, would you pray about it? And I told her, I said, you know, if I tell you I'm going to pray about it, what that means, don't you? And she said, and she looked at me a little quizzically. I said, that means that there ain't no way I'm doing this. She said, but I will do this. I will pray about it. And so I'm praying about what, if anything, we should do to have additional meetings like that. But I want to pray and wait and see what productive came out of what we did last night. And when I can see something productive came out of it, I'll do it. Let me tell you what. You know this already. I don't have any time to do anything else. Something's got to go. And God, you know, God keeps improving my health so I can do it. So, physically I'm able, but I don't know, and I'd encourage you to pray about that yourself, or what God would have you to do, and we'll see what happens. You can, as long as you're not asking me to do something. I don't like that look in your eye, Becky.
My heart started pounding back there, so I knew the Lord was saying, get up and say this. But John said something, John and Ruth Kowalczyk, we've been friends with like 40 years, and they've been fighting this battle against abortion since way back in the 90s with Bill Shanks and all that. And they said back then there were 10 abortion clinics in New Orleans, 10, and now there is one. That encourages me. And they said if the amount of people that were sitting in here last night, if we would start going on General Pershing, where the only abortion clinic is left, and I'm not saying go every week, but I'm saying go when you can. They go on Tuesday and Thursday at noon, and John preaches, and she has her little baby buggy full of tracts and booklets. She said if this amount of people would go, they would shut that place down too. Mm. So I started saying, Lord, You know, forgive me that I've been one of those people that hasn't done anything. I haven't stood up. But knowing that, there is something that we can do. There's something that each of us can do. We can volunteer at the Crisis Pregnancy Help Center. We can buy diapers. But I'm encouraged when they're saying that our son lives not far from General Pershing. So if Roa let me, I'm going to go one day. And I believe we can shut that place down, too. And I'm encouraged. Mm-hmm. Like Rose said, we got to do something. Our faith is dead. We got to put feet to our prayers.
Yeah.
And I'm encouraged.
Amen. Anyway. Amen. And thank God for Donald Trump, who's standing up for life. You know, and good citizens need to do something about that.
I talked with Cindy after the service last night, after the meeting, and I said I probably should have stood up, but I didn't. So I told her my little story, and she says, well, next time, she said, because we are going to do it again.
So she did.
She told me before she told you. But anyways.
That's Cindy? You can't trust that woman?
Anyhow, all during the meeting last night, I thought about this. I haven't shared this to too many people, and my daughter does not know this. But when I found out I was pregnant with my fourth child, she was the only one born in the United States. The other three were born at a base in Germany, and we were getting ready to build a house, and he didn't think this was a good idea that we were pregnant, that I was pregnant. And he says, isn't there a pill or something you can take to get rid of it? And I thought, this is my own husband asking me to do this after three children. I was like, I think about 23 then. And I told him, I said, if there's a pill out there, you will have to find a way to get it down my throat, because I will not do this.
Amen. Amen.
That's when I started praying. And this was before I really knew that I knew the Lord as my Savior. Yeah. But I guess I did back then. And I prayed that this child would be a girl. We were building a three-bedroom home. Two boys already we had, and one girl. If it was a girl, that would take care of the bedroom situation, because I could put two in a room. And I also prayed that this girl would be such a good baby that I wouldn't have to hear afterwards, I told you we should have got rid of it, or whatever, you know. So I prayed. Lori Ann was born. She was a very good baby. Well, first off, she was a she.
Yeah.
But she was a very good baby. She was a loving child. But I think she sensed that rejection. And I think babies sense this. It never hit me until last night. Mm-hmm. She is my child who attempted suicide in January. She's in a rehab center. Oh, Lord help me. I think she has suffered this rejection all her life. We don't communicate, even though this Christmas I did get a card from her with a picture of her and my granddaughter. And she called me on New Year's Eve, and we talked for a little over 2 hours. Nothing about what's going on, but just every which thing. And I was so excited. I haven't heard anything more about her since about a month now. And my prayer is that where she is, she will have someone.
Yes.
That will bring her back to the Lord. She accepted the Lord when she was 8 years old. But I think so many unfair, if you want to call it that, things have happened in her life. Bad choices. Because of what she was experiencing on her inside that she didn't really know, I don't think. But anyways, that's my story.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. God bless you. I think we're going to change gears a little bit. I'm going to abandon the sermon I had prepared for today. And I've got plenty of time to preach the sermons about life. I had prepared some things to say last night, which I didn't say. Some I did some, but I didn't say all of them. There were too many other. God just got him. Just messed up my whole plan, and so the. I had a beautiful agenda all laid out, and you know I knew who was. I even you saw I had times on them, didn't I? You know how long everybody was going to do everything, and that went down the tubes in a New York instant. So I just want to talk to just share with you the remarks that I was going to say last night, some of which I've already said, but I'll just weave my way through it. Let's pray for a minute before I say any further. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for what you're doing. I've been around you long enough to know that when you start moving, things start happening, and I sense you're moving. Father, even as we sang that song this morning about change, there's a fragrance of change in the air in our own particular life, in the life of this church, in the life of our city. I have an expectancy of change for the good. So as we as a church, as a family, and that's what we are, Lord, we really are family, as we think about what we're to do as a family, I ask you to speak to us so that what we do it collectively as a family and in the name of the family, that we work together as a family. So we open ourselves up to you, Lord, as much as I told Cindy, the answer was no. Obviously, she had other plans, and maybe you do too. So however you want us to be involved, give us the wisdom to know you, the knowledge to know what to do, the resources to be able to do it, and more than anything else, the will to do your will. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. And the children said, Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says this, but we do not want you to be uninformed. And I think that's what we're experiencing here. The information. In some translations, it says, I do not want you to be ignorant, but it says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not mourn or grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Who have no hope. The rate of baby killing, as we just said, is absolutely astounding. The latest true, factual, hardcore numbers we have are from 2015. And in 2015, we had 638,169 abortions. 638,169 abortions were reported. Interesting fact. You know who keeps that information? I'm going to tell you. You probably don't know. I didn't know. The Center for Disease Control. Now think about that. Is there a message in that? That the disease control department of our government keeps track of the murder of babies. When I discovered that, I was informed that it's just a disease. It's fetal tissue. Let's just count the fetal tissue of the disease. That's the message. You know, what we say and the words that we use send the message. That is a clear message that needs to get out. That abortion, the murder of children, is being counted by the department of the government that takes care of disease. Now, how many people you know that? Probably none. You probably know truckloads of people who don't know that. That might be a good topic of conversation. You want to open a dialogue with people so that they can be informed? Most of the people in our community have no idea what you know just being in this building today. They don't know. They're running for. So just knowing that gives you a weapon to use, and you can ask people, do you believe that children are a disease? The government does. In the womb, so long as in the womb, they're a disease. Because if you have an abortion, that's who's going to count it. Nick said this a couple of weeks ago. It might have been a couple of days ago, right? Nick, I don't remember when. But he said, we need to stop calling this thing abortion. It's too acceptable. We need to start calling it what it is. What is it? Nick, maybe it was you, Danny, who said it. I don't remember. Whoever. We need to call it what it is. It's murder of children. Nothing less and nothing more. It's the murder of children. And if you've seen anything, if you haven't seen anything, if you haven't read anything, and see the heinous things that take place when an abortion takes place, it's not sterile, it's not cute, and it's not innocent. It is literally tearing a child limb by limb out of the womb of its mother. And it's bloody. And to make it worse, Planned Parenthood, what a name. See, they picked the name. They didn't call themselves the murder chamber. They're Planned Parenthood. They take those discarded pieces, and I just learned this, that the older the baby is in the womb, the more valuable its pieces are to be sold and to be used for research around the world. That's happening. And our government won't defund Planned Parenthood. Your tax dollars are paying for the murder of children. Oh, Pastor, now you know, I don't believe in that. Well, you don't have to believe in it. That's the truth. And it's such a stronghold in our nation, this Planned Parenthood, this thing put together by Margaret Sanger for the extermination of black people. Margaret Sanger, she's the one who did it. She's the one who created Planned Parenthood, and that was the original intent. They just expanded it now. Planned Parenthood. You know, words have meaning. How do you use them? Well, you couldn't tell people that it's killing babies. That would be distasteful. It's just planning what you're not. A woman's choice for her body. The problem is, it's not her body. It's something in her body. Just face the facts, folk. It's not pretty. It's not a pretty picture. The gas chambers in Germany weren't a pretty picture. And do you know how small that is compared to what we're talking about? We have 6 million people, Jews, 6 million Jews, 8 million people maybe in total, who were killed and used for human experimentation. That's another thing that Eisenhower discovered when he went into Germany. He found the place where Dr. Death lived, who took human beings and did unbelievable things. Well, we have our own Dr. Death who are doing that right now. All in the name of science. Well, do you know what we might learn about saving life if we take a baby's heart or its brain or some other part of its body and we experiment with it? If we just get some fetal tissue, I mean, we're just going to throw it away anyhow. Well, let's call it something nice. Let's just call it Planned Parenthood. And the government wouldn't give us any money if we were going to murder people, but if we were just going to help mamas with their make decisions about their bodies. Am I the only one? Is that sinister, diabolical? No wonder the scripture said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, I mean, rulers of darkness in high places. And the church bells rang. And we would go to church every Sunday, and we have a wonderful time. And I preach great sermons for you that, I don't know, I feel sometimes I'm wasting my time. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking about me. Rick Warren said that what we do as ministers ought to encourage people to change what they want to do. Let me get on this subject for just a minute. It's one of my favorite subjects to talk about. It's about repentance. The idea of repentance is so misused and abused as to what the Bible says. It is not remorse. It is not sorrow. Those things are good. Repentance is when you change the way that you think. Charles, you changed the way that you thought Friday. And when you change the way that you thought, you change what you believed about something. And when you change the way that you believed about something, you did something about it last night. Now, that's repentance. This idea, well, just kneel down there and repent. That's showtime. That's what churches count. Somebody got repented. It is time for us to repent, but the repentance is we need to change the way that we think about things. We need to know the truth. We need to face up to it, as ugly as it is. We're talking about stuff I had no idea 40-some-odd years ago when I decided to follow the Lord that we'd talk about in church. The things that I have to tell you about. You know, I'm an information source for you. I read a lot. I study a lot. I listen a lot. And I do that so that I'm well-informed enough to inform you. So that if I can change the way that you think, you will change what you believe. And if you will change what you believe, some of your beliefs are wrong. Some of the things that you believe are dead wrong. You've been taught the wrong things by good, well-meaning people. But if you get to the truth that sets you free and you start believing different, that'll spur you to doing differently. We got to stop the church bells and start doing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know how they turned the whole world upside down? They got out of the church in the upper room and they went out in the streets and souls were converted. And when souls were converted, they changed what they believed and they changed the way they act, and the whole world was turned upside down. I believe that's a poor translation. The whole world was turned right side up. Now, if that's the kind of repentance you want to talk about, I'm all in. But if you want to repent for stuff just because it sounds good, oh, you know, God forgive us for what we've done. Well, that's good. That's sorrow. That's okay. I'm for it. But that's not repentance. Repentance is educate yourself. And that's one of the things that happened yesterday. We were educated about some things. And that'll change us. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Well, I'll find something. You know, a guy preached a completely different subject, preached a great sermon about doing things for the Lord. And when he got finished preaching, some men in the church went up to him and said, Pastor, what could we do? And the pastor said, oh, I don't know. I didn't have anything in mind. I just thought you ought to do something. Well, those guys, thankfully, didn't pay any attention to the pastor, and they formed an organization. It's a worldwide organization. Today it's called the Gideons. See? In many ways, I can't tell you what to do right now. But I can tell you to start changing the way you think. Whatever you're doing, you've been doing it wrong. And start saying, Isaiah said, when he saw himself, when he got knowledge, He said, "Woe unto me, I am an unclean man and I live among unclean people." And God said to himself, he said, "Whom shall we send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah, the man who just got a revelation, raised his hand and said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." I think that's what we all have to do. Here am I, Lord, send me. You don't have to worry about your qualifications. You don't have to worry about your education. You don't have to worry about anything other than you are willing to have true repentance in your life. And if you do that, then you'll be able to do what God's called you to do. So how do we mourn for children? Well, we mourn with sorrow for the children that were killed. I mean, you got to. It's got to tear your heart out. Coffins from here to Beijing, China, 12 inches long, put in a row in 1 year? Man, if you can't get sorrowful about that, you better check yourself. Are you still part of the human race? Do you have any compassion within you at all? But we mourn with hope, knowing that those children were ushered into the presence of God for all eternity. That's mourning with hope. And some of you in this room, I've had to talk to you, and you lost a loved one. Husbands, wives, moms, dads, children. And I told you that. I tell that to everyone. You know why? Because it's true. Because there's no such thing as no mourning when you lose somebody you love. For God's sakes, when you're married and you lose your spouse, that's a horrible pain. You lose a child, that's a horrible pain. You lose your parents, I don't care how old they are, it's a horrible pain. Mourning is part of life. But my message is, we mourn with hope that the one that you love is safe. And I'm here by the word of God, but what the scriptures teach, that children who are murdered by their mother's will and the doctor's forceps are safe in Father's house. They're safe in Father's house. And that's what I didn't want. I didn't want that message not to be told last night. That's what feared me, that it wouldn't be told. And that's why I was prepared to say it. That gives me a sense of well-being. That gives me a hope that somebody bigger than us is in control. God's in control. God hears the cry of his people. They talk about the cry that's never heard is the cry of children in the womb being murdered. Oh, God hears. Some said, "Well, why doesn't God do something about it?" Oh, maybe he's waiting for us to do something about it. He gave us dominion over the world. Said, "Well, God doesn't have a heart." Oh, if you believe that, you don't know nothing about God. Oh, yeah. God knows, and God cares. If he didn't care, he'd let the murder take place, and that fetal tissue would just go into the bucket of history. Nothing would happen. But he captures that life, and he brings it home. And those babies wake up in the presence of God. And I believe, because of what I've seen in my own spirit, in my own family, in my own experience, and I told this last night, and some of you have heard this, and I've talked to Bobby about it in some more detail than I have here, because she lost a child, and I wanted to encourage her. When I learned that I have a sister who was about a year and a half, 2 years younger than me, who died either stillborn or died shortly after she died, I was born. And in a prayer meeting in my house, when we were worshiping the Lord, I had a vision of a little girl dancing around the room in one of those little full dresses that little girls used to wear. You don't see them much anymore with the petticoats. And she was just enjoying herself. And I had my eyes closed and I was just singing the songs. And it really caught me by surprise that I saw that. And when I saw it, she came over to me and just hugged me on the leg with a big hug. And more than words, God spoke to me and said, "That's your sister." It just startles me to think about it. And I've had two other events when I've seen her. The second time I saw her, unexpected in a worship time when I was talking with the Lord, I saw a vision of her. And she was a little teenage girl. And I believe that children grow in the heavenly realm. He said, Pastor, can you give me a chapter and verse? No, I can't give you a chapter and verse, but I'm not a rookie when it comes to God. I know how to hear the voice of God. I've seen God. You know, I'm an experienced minister. I'm not the guy who got saved in 1972 any longer. I've been around. I've studied. I've heard some things. And the next time I saw her, she was a young woman. And she was standing next to my mom. And I believe when you die, you're eternally young. And my mother was a young woman. I have a picture of her in my house when she was about 16. Well, no, but she's actually about, at that time, she's probably 20, the picture I have of her. And my sister was standing with her. And it took my breath away because my sister looked exactly like my daughter. So I believe those babies are growing. And I believe when the mothers who've had abortions and the fathers who paid for abortions get to see their child, they'll be amazed at the beauty and the love and the affection that'll come. So that's why we don't mourn as those that don't have any hope. So what about people who are involved in the murder of babies, mothers and fathers? Brings us sorrow. And we hear the sorrow. We heard the story, two stories actually last night, of what they go through. And so we mourn with sorrow for those parents that they did that, that they went through that. But we mourn with hope because God has provided forgiveness for that. The old rugged cross. He took all of our sins, all the abortion, all the murder, all the things we've done in life. He took it upon the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. He wasn't talking just about the guys who were trying to kill him. He was talking about us. He was talking about everybody's involved in abortion. All the people in church listening to the bells ring and doing nothing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Scripture I just read to you. I don't want you to be uninformed. So we have hope in the midst of that. So how do we mourn for our nation? We mourn with our nation who would pass and allow such unmentionable laws to exist. I don't want to preach an old sermon, but I preach a series in here about the Black Robe Regiment. Any law made by any government that is in contrary to the Word of God is no law at all. And you have a responsibility not only to ignore it, but to disobey it. That's the truth. Are you a lawbreaker? No, I'm not a lawbreaker. That's an unjust... It's not a law. If it's... Any system of government that says it's all right to murder babies in a mother's womb, that is a law that I will never obey. And I'll do all I can to stop it. Because it needs to be stopped. It's not of God. The scriptures teach us to be obedient to lawful authority, not to unlawful authority. So where do we find hope? We find hope in this, that God presides over the affairs of men and will overturn every evil law anyone has ever passed in the world. Now, I believe that. You know, we talk about that. You know, God knows. Well, God not only knows, he's the one with the power to stop it all. And he'll use us. But when it's all said and done, when eternity rolls around, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords returns, we'll see the reckoning. And that's mourning with hope that God will preside over the truth. So what about the United States? What about these diabolical people in the state of New York and in Illinois and Virginia and other states who are trying to see who can outdo who to have the worst baby murdering laws in the nation? If it doesn't make you mad as a wet hen, you better do something about it. They had the audacity. After 9/11, and the Twin Towers were knocked down, and a new tower was built called the Freedom Tower, staying 1,776 feet tall. Remind us of 1776 when we got our freedom. When they proclaimed for us life in our founding documents, they had the bald-faced audacity when they passed the worst murdering, legalizing law in our country. They took that Tower of Freedom and they lit it up pink. My God in heaven, if that doesn't want to make you get your musket and do something, there's no end to the hypocrisy of this whole topic. So how do we mourn with hope? Because the state of Tennessee passed in their government through their Senate, which is going to their House of Representatives, will go to their governor to get signed, a new abortion law in their state. It says when Roe v. Wade is overturned, there will be zero abortions in the state of Tennessee. Come on. The state of Louisiana passed a law that there'll be zero abortions in the state of Louisiana. And there'll be more and more. So there is hope. There's hope. And I believe this. And forgive me for being naive, if I am naive. I believe that good overcomes evil. And I believe in this country. And I believe in the people of this country. There are countless hundreds of millions of good people just like you in this country. Not the evil centers of some of our major cities where terrible things happen, but in little towns and little boroughs, just like Slidell, Louisiana, there are good people. And those good people are getting really upset about what's happening. And I believe there are pastors around the nation today who are preaching this sermon. They say, look, there's hope. And I think people just like you are saying, you know what? It's enough. This is enough. Just tell me what to do, Pastor. God, tell me what to do. And I believe a groundswell of righteousness will pour out on our nation that will destroy forever this plague of baby murder. And boy, Pastor, you sure were naive. You know, you're sure blue sky in us. No, I believe in the power of God to do things. I believe God can change lives. If he can change me, he can change you, and he can change all the other yous just like me. But somebody's got to get the word out. You know how people come to Christ? Bob, I'm 100% agree with you. What we need is people coming to Christ. You know how they're going to find out about Christ? You're going to have to tell them. They ain't here for listening to me. I'm doing my best to reach them. We're running these cameras and paying money every month to try to get the word out over the internet. You know, we're producing things. I'm writing things for the newspaper. I'm working with the Ministers Association. We're using our radio. We're doing the best we can. But the best way to change a heart is for you to tell them. Because they're not listening to me. Some are, but not enough. So let's do our job. I want to close with this. I used this scripture last week, but I want to put it in context of what we're talking about. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, NIV. Paul writes this. Amazing that he would say this. Now that we don't want you to be uninformed. Well, gee, did I just read that somewhere? They'd say, oh, that was in Thessalonians. And he said, no one should be informed. I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we're experiencing. He said the province of Asia. I'm going to say what we're experiencing in America. We're under great pressure. Buddies, this is pressure. Because we're taking a hard look at reality. And it's pressure. It's not nice. It doesn't feel good. It's not kumbaya. We're under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. This breaks me down. I don't have the strength, the wherewithal. I'm befuddled. It's so big, I don't know what to do. And he said, so that we despaired of life. Isn't that the subject matter here? They despaired of life. Are we going to despair of life for the babies? Of our own self? He said, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Oh, that death feels like it's hit me. It feels like it's hit you. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God. There it is. That we might not rely on ourselves but on God. This will not get done in the power of Morris San Angelo or anybody else in this room or anybody listening and watching. We don't have that ability. But it happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God who raises the dead. There is some hope. You know who the dead are? The dead are you who were at one time dead in your sins and in your trespasses, who were made alive by the power of the cross. That's how the dead get raised, by the power of the cross and the message of the gospel. That'll raise the dead. And when the dead get raised and they have life, they begin to think different. And when they think different, they do what? They believe different. And when they believe different, they do what? They act different. That's repentance. Raising the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril. This is deadly peril. This isn't whether or not you like the carpet or the tile or the portraits on the wall or my suit coat or anything else. This is about life and death. Deadly peril. And he, God, will deliver us again. It isn't the first battle. There's been battles before. And each generation is called to go into battle. I believe it's our time. On him we have set our hope. I like that, our hope. This isn't my hope, it's our hope. It's collectively. That's the church, the ecclesia, the called out assembly. That's who we are. It's our hope that he will continue to deliver us. And I wrote down here, he will continue to deliver the unborn babies. That's the deliverance I want to see. I want to see our problem be this. What are we going to do with these 8,000 children in Louisiana who are going to be born because they can't get abortion here any longer? They can't be murdered here any longer. What are we going to do with them? We're going to find mothers who are willing to keep their babies. We're going to help them deliver their babies. We're going to help them find a home for their babies. We're going to take them into our houses like we talked about last night. We're going to find a way to take care of these 8,000 new babies in our state. The year, and I'm praying it's this year, Roe v. Wade dies. And we've got 8,000 great problems. And they're all cute. They're all cute. They had this one little gal. I'm going to close with this. They had this one testimony was given at the in the Carolinas at the day of mourning up there. And this little 8-year-old girl, just as cute as a button, came out there. And she was going to testify. And they put a mic down, you know, at that level for her. And I thought, what is this kid going to say? And her mother stood next to her. And the mother had looked like 3x5 cards. And she gave the first one to the little girl. And she read. And she talked about her life and how happy she was. And then she looked up. And the mother gave her another one. And she read it. And she read the testimony about how wonderful her mother was to her. And she was so glad to be alive. And she's so glad for the life she had. And she wanted other kids to have the same life she had. And she went on. I can't remember the whole thing, but it was just, I just cried a river just watching her with just joy. And she looked up at her mom, just a beautiful woman, and she said, and she's my adopted baby who was saved from the abortion chamber. And I've got her. I couldn't have any children. She said, I tried for, I forget how many years, 10 years, 8 years or so, and she couldn't have a baby of her own. And God gave me this baby. And the little girl just, she just snuggled up to her mother. I mean, it was just precious just to see it. And when the mother had finished her testimony, and she turned to her daughter, she said, and I've got a surprise for you. Your birth mother is here. And off the stage, a woman, young woman started walking, and that little girl ran like she was going after a new puppy, I'm telling you. And she ran and she hugged. Now, I don't know if it was the first time she met her or not. I don't know. But there was a love fest on that stage that we got to see. A woman who decided at a Planned Parenthood abortion center decided to have her baby and give it up for adoption, and it was all taken care of. This woman who didn't have a baby was put with that woman who couldn't keep a baby, and that child was there talking about saving lives. That's the picture I want to see happen over and over and over and over again. And we can do it. We can't drain the whole swamp, but we can drain our little part of it. Can't we? Can't we? Let's all stand. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. I love you, my beloved friends. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you. Thank you for receiving the things that I try to bring to you. And thank you for being pliable in the hands of our God and willing to change. I thank you for that. So, Father, as we close today, I rejoice in how you've changed me just in this last couple of days. I didn't expect to be here going through this, talking about this. I had a bad attitude about it all. Father, as you well know, and I told you I had a bad attitude, that I didn't want to be involved. And yet here we are. So, Lord, I told Cindy I'd pray about it, and I'm praying right now just with the family and saying, Lord, I don't need another project, and neither do these folks. But we do want to do your will. So we do say, okay, God, whatever you got in store, you open the doors. And, Lord, I remind you and the family has heard me say this before. I promise you that I do whatever you ask me to do. But I'd never ask anyone to let me do anything. And that I'd walk through any open door, but I wouldn't open any doors. And I don't know now, as I didn't know then when I told you the deal, why you agreed to it. I think you may have chuckled. But here I am saying it again. So you open the doors. You prepare my heart. You prepare the hearts of the family right here. Those who may be watching over the internet, listening on a delayed broadcast, pray the same prayer for them, that you'll prepare our hearts, inform us, equip us, and we'll do whatever you ask us to do. We thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And all the family said, Amen. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. If you need prayer, I'll be glad to pray for you.